Good morning, council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It is 10:07 a.m. We are here today, August 19, 2020, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 20-005, Hotel Santa Fe Guam versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez and Vince Duenas. Will appellant Hotel Santa Fe please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, good morning, Georgia. On behalf of Santa Fe Hotel, and on the phone is representative, she's the manager of the Santa Fe, and her name is Sherry Mickey Yokozeki.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Sandra Cruz Miller from the Office of the Attorney General, representing General Services Agency, which is here today through Mr. Robert Cono. Also present from the Office of the Attorney General is Ms. Marlon Aguilar, who is a new attorney in our office.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Council. We have before us this morning one motion. A motion for summary judgment that was filed by the Attorney General. And so we'll start with Ms. Miller. Yeah.
Yes, I will start. Thank you, Your Honor. Okay, this is a motion brought for summary judgment brought by GSA as a matter of law against Santa Fe's notice of appeal. So Santa Fe's appeal is basically grounded on the termination that was, there was a term, let me back up. So Santa Fe was contracted to be a quarantine facility in May for the arriving quarantine passengers. Passengers were moved out of the Pacific Star and into Santa Fe and also into another hotel. Quite abruptly, the contract with Santa Fe was terminated after 6 days due to a number of issues that arose. And those issues are listed in GSA's letter, which is attached to Santa Fe's appeal as Exhibit H. The primary thrust of this appeal is that Santa Fe complains it was not given notice that it was going to be terminated, nor was it allowed 10 days to cure the deficiencies that were listed. Now, for purposes of this motion and without going into every single deficiency, we agree. There was no notice given. They were just terminated, and they were not given a right to cure. And that is really the thrust of Santa Fe's appeal. So under the terms of the contract, this is a motion for summary judgment. So under the terms of the contract, there is a section 9, subsection A3, which is a termination for cause. And it says that if there is cause, the chief procurement officer can terminate the contract, may terminate the contract, and may give a notice and a right and an opportunity to cure. That was not given. It is GSA's position that that's discretionary on the part of the CPO. And in this case, because this was not just any termination, this was a quarantine hotel facility, there was just no time. These were COVID passengers, and they had to be moved. And they had to be moved quickly and to allow another 10 days to fix the deficiencies wouldn't have made any sense. These passengers would have been out anyway and completed their quarantine, because quarantine is only 14 days and they had already been there 6 days. And so GSA's position is that the termination was done properly, it was done correctly, done in accordance with law, and not just the procurement law, but also with the emergency health powers law. And everything else is the arguments are made in the briefs, and unless the OPA has any questions specifically about them, I thank you.
I noticed in the brief from the hotels in Santa Fe that they're arguing that your notice or GSA's notice on the 27th did not include any mention of any of the provisions that you are now arguing. Is it the position of the government that it did not need to specify which one of the three different sections that are now being argued as basis for termination needed to be mentioned in the termination letter, or is it your belief that you have the right to terminate and you didn't need to specifically say pursuant to Article 23 or II, whatever, any of those specific provisions needed to be mentioned in the letter terminating?
I think the position is that the agency does not need to specifically say pursuant to sections such and such, you are hereby terminated. However, from the notice of termination, it's pretty clear which section was invoked, which was there were all of these deficiencies. So obviously it's the termination for cause. Now the contract does have other provisions. And the contract also says that if we invoke one provision, that doesn't mean we waive the rights under the rest of the contract. The whole thing is one big thing. And so the position of the government is that fine, if for this motion, if the hotel wants to insist that it was terminated under this particular section, then we can go with that. And under the section that they insist on, there was cause and it was properly terminated. As to the other sections, even though they were not invoked, there is possibly also a grounds for that, which is the convenience. You can terminate for convenience. It just that's also in there, or for the best interest of the island. All of those provisions would apply, and they were not waived, and the contract specifically says so. But since this is summary judgment and we're taking it the way the hotel says, if they just want to focus on one termination provision, there is a grounds, legal grounds warranting summary judgment under that provision as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Santa Fe.
Thank you.
You'll now be heard to respond.
Thank you, Your Honor. First of all, I'd like to correct the government. The crux of Santa Fe's procurement protest is that GSA wrongfully terminated the contract. And the reason we argue that they wrongfully terminated the contract was because their list of deficiencies were non-existent. So that's the crux of our argument. Now, when we protested to the GSA, GSA said initially when they denied our protests, initially GSA took the position that, quote, a review of the purchase order did not indicate that a cure language was provided for, and as such, there is no right to have one. And that's stated in their June 10th, 2020 letter. And now, in moving for summary judgment, GSA contends that it's part of the purchase order. So I believe that the GSA itself put this issue in dispute. Now, we've argued that these provisions, especially Section 9, the one on what we call the 10-day cure default, 10-day cure provision, that's part of the contract. So I think the real issue now before the OPA is, did they properly invoke what they're now saying they're entitled to invoke? The notice, the termination letter, which was sent to Santa Fe on May 27th, terminating the contract on May 23rd retroactively. And even though the GSA still had people in the hotel on May 20, they didn't move them out till May 24th. That letter just said, you have these deficiencies. And so we're terminating the contract. Now, for the government to take the position that, well, we can invoke whatever we want retroactively, why include four different provisions and how you can terminate the contract? And I believe that each one serves a different purpose. And so why include those if the government can just willingly, well, you know, best interest. Well, if it was the best interest, they didn't, where's the analysis of why it was in the best interest? And if it was for convenience, why is it convenient for the government when they, with the hotel that they replaced Santa Fe with, actually charged more? So, you know, the real argument that we have is they can't just in hindsight say, oh, well, let's throw everything on the wall and see what sticks. It doesn't work that way. And by them, they didn't give any proper notice that they're, you know, you have these deficiencies. They just said, oh, we're going to terminate your contract. Now, I also like to point out that initially when they denied our protests, GSA kept going back to Basel versus GSA. And that was the case, but that the OPA had decided, and then it went up on appeal to the Guam Supreme Court. Now, one of the issues in the Basel case was whether or not TUGAR Division 4, Chapter 6, Section 6101, Subsection 8, was part of the contract, part of Basel's contract. Now, in that case, it wasn't actually part of the contract, and Basel was trying to say, well, it applies because it's in the procurement law or the procurement regulation. That provision is almost identical to the one that is included in Santa Fe's contract, which it gives the discretion. It says that it states that the irrelevant part, that if a contractor commits a substantial breach, the procurement officer may notify the contractor and give 10 days to cure. Well, in that case, this body had stated that, quote, if this regulation were applicable, GSA would have had to give Basel 10 days to cure, and GSA would have then wrongfully terminated Basel's contract. So based on that language, we believe that that Santa Fe should have been given a 10-day notice and 10 days to cure. And also, the procurement law requires that, you know, the parties that the government administer these contracts in good faith. And the fact that they're flip-flopping as to what they can decide, what was the basis of them terminating, that should cause the OPA to to pause and to consider whether or not, what was the issue and why did they terminate? So even if the OPA finds that the default provision is discretionary and that the government could invoke any of the three other provisions that it now invokes to terminate the contract, there's still the issue of, did they wrongfully terminate Santa Fe's contract? And so that is the crux of our argument, Your Honor. Thank you.
And do you feel that the cure provision is mandatory or is it permissive?
Well, the contract reads that it's permissive, but based on the OPA's holding in Basel, it's saying there that it's same language. It's just, you know, and it said that they would have had to given, GSA would have to have given Basel 10 days to cure. Otherwise, they have wrongfully terminated Basel's contract.
And do you, the government's arguing, or GSA is arguing, that the situation in this case was more grave or more exigent, and that they couldn't wait for 10 days to allow for cure if part of the problem was, at least they were claiming, or at least no food or uninhabitability. Would that have anything different from the Basil case?
Well, Your Honor, the Basil case was about Basil providing food to the Manumco. And so that's just, so again, it goes back to, did these deficiencies that they listed in their termination letter really exist? And so Santa Fe argues that it doesn't. They did not. And so based on that, the contract was wrongfully terminated altogether. And so I think that even though, you know, that the declaration was based on an emergency, the issue is, did they wrongfully terminate? And so we need to get to the evidentiary hearing to determine that.
Okay, so your position is that there should be an evidentiary hearing so that if, as alleged, there were some complaints, those complaints would have to be presented at the evidentiary hearing as basis for the termination?
Well, yes, because we can, you know, it, again, those deficiencies were non-existent at the time that the government wrongfully terminated Santa Fe's contract. I mean, just for instance, you know, they weren't given, the bedding wasn't changed. Well, the bedding's only supposed to be changed every 7 days. And we were at day six when they made the termination retroactive. That's news to my client. There were no complaints when a passenger made a request. The clean laundry was available. It was put in a room, and the National Guard had access to it, and so they could provide it, or the hotel would have provided it. So it's just, you know, it's just stuff like that that those are really factual issues, and they go to whether or not GSA wrongfully terminated Santa Fe's contract.
And so your position is that there are factual issues in dispute and that this should go to hearing?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Ms. Miller, do you wish to respond?
Yes, I'd like to respond to the argument with, and this is a follow-up also to your question about, is it the government's position that GSA had to give a specific reason? And so the hotel, you know, talks about the OPA's decision in Basel, which, you know, went up on appeal, and the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court actually upheld the OPA's decision in that case to the extent that of the finding that GSA, in fact, I'm going to read from the Supreme Court's decision in Basel, since it's so relevant, and that's 2019 Guam 29. And it says GSA is not required to state whether the contract was terminated for cause or convenience, nor was GSA required to give Basel an opportunity to cure. So in other words, all of the termination provisions apply. They all do. And the government doesn't have to tell you which one it is invoking. It is enough that it invokes one of them, and it does not waive its rights under the other clauses. That's just how the procurement law is set up. That's how the contract in this case was set up. And that's the contract that Basel agreed to. And initialed at the bottom of that very page where all of those termination clauses are present. So to the extent that the hotel wants to just focus on one termination clause, that is for cause, and then try to argue that somehow there's a factual issue in dispute because there's really no cause, that's actually not what that termination provision says. It is permissive. So under that one, it's permissive. And yes, it's unfortunate, it's harsh, but the government can terminate for whatever reason it feels like. and it should be exercised in good faith. And in this case, if we do go to a hearing, we will be able to show that there were a number of complaints. In fact, Santa Fe's own letters to the government, you know, admit certain things. The air con wasn't working. Yeah, linens are only changed once a week. This is a 2 week. They're there for 2 weeks, okay? So they're going to have two changes of linen. The food, oh, we didn't know that, you know, the food has to be, like, you know, delivered like this. We should have had a shopping cart to push our food in. You know, all of that kind of stuff. It's already done. This is very limited term occupancy. And the passengers there are potentially COVID infected. We don't know that. And in fact, it is at these quarantine facilities that even to date, they're still discovering some infections. So it's really important that quarantine facilities, they're not just hotels, they are quarantine facilities, meet the minimum requirements to be one. There was an issue with the phones. They admit our phone switch isn't working. That's in Mr. Jackson's letter. Our phone switch isn't working, so we gave everybody cell phones. If we go to hearing, we'll show those cell phones, you know, didn't work. They came, they went. And one of the requirements of a quarantine facility is that there has to be a means of communication, because the passengers can't even leave their rooms. They are stuck in that room for 14 days. They need to be able to call downstairs to the lobby if they feel sick. They need to be able to call for help. And if they are not allowed to leave, how is that going to happen? So, the government and GSA, the position is the contract was terminated for cause. Fine. There was cause, and we will be able to show cause. In the alternative, the other contract provisions, which are applicable, they were not waived, and we don't have to just stick to one. It can also be terminated for convenience. It can be terminated in the best interest of the territory, and there's no requirement, according to the Guam Supreme Court, that it be stated specifically, you know, dear Santa Fe, pursuant to such and such, you are hereby terminated. That's not required. So that's the law. And so GSA submits that as a matter of law, for purposes of summary judgment, that summary judgment should be granted in favor of the government.
Appellant argues that the OPA decision in Basel insists that cure must be allowed, time for cure. Can you reread that section from 2929 of the Supreme Court?
Okay, this is paragraph 14, and it says the trial court, so this actually even went up before it got to the Supreme Court, it would have had to go to the Superior Court. The trial court affirmed the decision of the OPA, finding that GSA did not have to state whether termination of the contracts was for cause or convenience, and that termination was proper under section 12.9. 12.9 was the section that said if you get a C or a D rating, you know, that's it, kaput, you're out of here. So Basel challenged that, and they said, well, you know, you let us cure one time. You shouldn't have let us cure this time. So the facts are slightly different, but the holding is the same. And the holding is that it's not required to choose, you know, that we just focus only on one termination provision. They all apply. And if one doesn't apply, you know, the next one applies. That's why they're all there. That's just how the system is set up. So actually the court says that. The court says, you know, it's up to the legislature to change it. It's not up to the court to, these are policy calls, and they must go to the legislature. We can't change the law for the contract.
I don't remember either one of you arguing this in your briefs. No, about the Supreme Court position. And I think just to underscore everything, without argument, can you just reread that the section from the Supreme Court holding about the at least earlier you mentioned it is 2929, where it ended the sentence that they didn't, there was no need to allow for cure.
Yes. Okay. So the citation is 2019 Guam 29, and it is section B, page 5 of the Supreme Court's opinion, and it's the heading. GSA was not required to state whether the contract was terminated for cause or convenience, nor was GSA required to permit Basil an opportunity to cure. And then a discussion follows on paragraphs 14, and then on paragraph 29 at the end, it goes from 14 to 29, so it's 15 paragraphs of argument that, I'm sorry, not 29, 19. So I'm trying to find the part of the legislature, but it comes down that these are policy decisions. Here, paragraph 21. Lastly, Basil invites us to adopt a broad legal rule that the government agency must always state whether its termination of a publicly bid contract is for convenience or cause. We decline to do so. Such public policy arguments must be addressed to the legislature. And then they go on about, you know, this is not their call. They're not going, the court's not going to require the agency to pick and choose. But here, we're, you know, this is summary judgment, and we'll go with the facts as alleged by Basil, and that, I mean, not Basil, I'm sorry, Santa Fe, and that is that, you know, it's this, it's provision for cause. At a hearing, we'll show that there was cause, and in any case, just focusing on this one provision, it is permissive. So it doesn't matter whether it was for cause or convenience here. The, you know, a decision had to be made at the time. Do we keep these passengers here or not? There were a lot of complaints, and the decision was the hotel is unable to move quickly enough, and it was not able to bring itself up to speed. And it just didn't qualify as a proper quarantine facility. So the trigger just had to be pulled. We can't just, you know, wait around and in the meantime, you know, something happens. We can't be putting more passengers in there. So that was the reason for the termination. And honestly, if GSA had not terminated this contract, there would have been probably a big uproar that, you know, oh, why didn't you terminate the contract? So it's almost like, you know, it doesn't matter whether we terminated it or we didn't terminate it. Because if we didn't, you're going to hear it from the public and you're going to hear it from the passengers themselves. And you know, really that's just how this whole thing went down.
This is a summary judgment motion. So I know it, I don't usually, but I want to ask Ms. Conception if she'd like to address the issue of the Supreme Court holding in the Basil case as it specifically relates to the right to cure. Because you guys keep arguing, at least their argument was that the holding, I mean, that the rule is, the law is, what the public auditor found was that there should be time to cure. But if the Supreme Court did in fact hold that there was no right to cure, I have major problems with the forthrightness of people when they're arguing before me. I expect them to tell me what the final law was, what not what the most convenient argument is, if that had in fact been overturned undermined by the Supreme Court. Misconception?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, I don't have that case in front of me right now, but my recollection is that in Basil's case, one, it did not have the cure, the cure provision in it. And number two, there was a provision that said, if you get a C rating, we can terminate automatically. So those two, we don't have that provision in our case, and we don't. And Basil didn't have the cure language in that we have in our contract. So I don't have that case in front of me, but I do recollect that there were some distinguishable facts. Now, I'd like to point out that...
Why was it not mentioned in your brief before me that really...
I distinguish the facts. And I also cite the Supreme Court's ruling that every provision in the contract has a purpose. And it really goes back to GSA's termination letter. I mean, when they denied our protest, this letter was written by Mr. Connell, who's an attorney.
Every provision. And he argued that
the term wasn't even part of the contract.
But if the Supreme Court mentioned that every clause has a purpose, but the Supreme Court also stated that there was no right to cure, don't you believe that should have been presented in your brief to me?
Well, again, Your Honor, I distinguished the facts.
Okay, thank you. We will take this matter under advisement. I'll be reviewing the Supreme Court case and be issuing a decision forthwith. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:38 a.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.